the third account of the Nativity. It's not the one we always read, but I'd like to read to you from John chapter 1, the prologue, verse 1. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. The same was in the beginning with God. All things were made by him, and without him was not anything made that was made. In him was life, and the life was the light of men. The light shineth in darkness, and the darkness comprehended it not. There was a man sent from God, whose name was John. The same came for a witness, to bear witness of the light, that all men through him might believe. He was not that light, but sent to bear witness of that light. That was the true light, which lighteth every man that cometh into the world. Even these young ones. Wonderful, praise God. He that lighteth every man that cometh into the world. He was in the world, and the world was made by him, and the world knew him not. He came unto his own received him not. But as many as received him, to them he gave the power to become the sons of God, them that believe on his name, which was born not of blood, nor the will of flesh, nor the will of man, but of God. And the Word was made flesh and dwelt amongst us. And we beheld his glory, the glory of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. The word, Logos, the authority of God, was made flesh. That's what it's about. A little baby, born in the most humble of circumstances, lying in a feeding trough in a stable. Who was this? The Lord of glory, by whom all things consist in the world. That's unbelievable as we think about it. God, the Lord, was made flesh, and this is the message of Christmas. The Word was made flesh. Three Christmas stories, all celebrating the greatest event in history until that time. This one is quoted much less frequently, but it shows us the true significance of the whole event. The whole event that God, the Word of God, the Logos, was there at the beginning with God, and he was the agent of creation. That is incredible. And there, a helpless baby. I often think all came into the world in that way. Whether the greatest, most ruthless dictator or the greatest saint, they're there. That potential is there with each child. It's tremendous when you think of it. You know, a child comes in, you don't know that potential, but we pray, Lord, that maximum potential will take place as God leads that child onwards. We need to consider very much children. They are so, so important. So there are three stories, but this one, you know, the Word of God, that's a difficult one, you know. The Greek for word, and for more than word, is Logos. And over the Word of God, you know, Jesus was made into flesh, the Word. But the Logos, the authority of God, is the principle of divine, the greatest event in history, divine reason, creative order. That is the Logos. And it became identified with that second person of the Trinity, Jesus. He was born in a manger, in a feeding trough, as a baby. But this account in John really tends to show us what it's about, how terribly, tremendously important. It's, you know, it's more than Santa Claus and Christmas trees and turkey. It's much, much more. The great God came down and dwelt amongst us. He was made flesh. You know, people recently have been, well, I think it's, we're starting with, sorry, names, with Einstein and his relativity, and carried on with Hubble, and they're saying, look, it all went back. It went back to the Big Bang. Well, praise God, this word of God tells me, no, it went back to God. In the beginning, God. That's not just cosmology, it's what they call cosmogony. In the beginning, God. And here we have, yes, there was a big bang, but there was also a big light. There certainly must have been a massive light. God said, let there be light. So, you know, it was all there. Written down 3,500 years ago. And they're getting around to getting their minds around it today. Isn't that incredible? It's absolutely incredible. Incredibly. By the word of God, and we read in Psalm 33, by the word of God were the heavens made and all the hosts of them by the breath of his mouth, by the word of God, the word, the logos, that divine creative authority of God. And God, we read at the beginning of the Hebrews, the letter to the Hebrews, God hath in these last days spoken unto us by his Son, whom he has appointed heir of all things, by whom also he made the worlds, who, being the brightness of his glory, the express image of his person, upholding all things by the word of his power. You want to know, you know, why this world keeps spinning, why the sun keeps going round, why we're celebrating winter and summer and whatever else. He upholds all things by the word of his power. Isn't that tremendous? And upholding all things by the word of his power, when he had himself purged our sins, he sat down at the right hand of the majesty of high, on high. He created. He came, he died, suffered, so that we may be restored. Maybe we've gone our own way, we've done this thing, we've disbelieved, we've done our own thing, but he made a way back to God. That was tremendous. Jesus came down, the Lord of glory came down to die the most ignominious death, the death of a common criminal. Common criminal, which was unbelievably painful and terrible. He went through all that for that great creation that he created. It's tremendous, isn't it, when we think of it? So, this revelation of the Logos, the Word, started and became actually a word. Words in our sense of the word. They were written down. They became this, you know, the written word, the spoken word. This was the word of God. And we read so much about it. We read in Isaiah chapter 40, the grass withers, the flower fades, but the word of our God shall stand forever. That's terrific. And then in Psalm 119, why, if you read Psalm 119, okay, it's probably about 160 or 180 verses, but you read Psalm 119 and every word is taking you and pointing you to the word of God. Yes. How vitally important the word of God is. You know, he said, your word is a lamp to my feet and a light to my path. You know, a Christian can get no place without that word, without following the word. It's so vital. Your word is a lamp to my feet, a light to my path. So you read, if you've got time, sometime, read Psalm 119. Praise God. It's all there. And then in Acts, the disciples were getting, were being threatened for daring to preach about this wonderful word of God. And they prayed and said, Lord, now behold their threatenings. Grant to your servants that with all boldness they may speak thy word. That's the thing, thy word. It's so important. And then we read, the word is nigh thee, it's near you. It's even in your mouth and it's in your heart. That is the word of faith which we preach. It's all there, the word. You can't escape it. It's so vitally important. And then in Revelations, you know, the messages to the churches, and one was to the church of Philadelphia. And what do we read? They were going through troubles. But God said, I know thy works. Behold, I set before you an open door that no man can shut. For you have a little strength, but you kept my word, and you have not denied my name. The word, vital, absolutely undergirds everything that we do. It's so important. And then we start to read. If we look at Ephesians chapter 6, we read of the whole panoply of defense and offense. The panoply that the soldier of Christ has, we have. Let me just read it to you. I'll go back to verse 10 actually. Finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. Put on the whole armor of God, that you may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. For we do not wrestle against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this age, against spiritual hosts of wickedness in the heavenly places, in the heavenlies. Therefore, take up the whole armor of God, that you may be able to withstand in the evil day. And they're coming. The evil day is coming, believe me. You know, what is undergirding, you see the way they're completely cutting God out of things. You don't have to, very rarely do you see God given any preference, any significance at all. On the news and the media, I believe it's the spirit of Babylon that is holding and taking the media, and it's tending to take us away. Whether it's this whole promotion of Islam, whether it's the promotion of LGBT or whatever else, that is being pushed, and in fact is against and solidly against the Word of God and against the Christianity. So, what do we read? We do not wrestle against flesh and blood. You think if somebody's got it in for you, well, maybe they have, but it's probably the devil who's behind them. Okay? We do not wrestle against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this age, against spiritual hosts of wickedness in the heavenlies. Therefore, take on the whole armor of God, that you may be able to withstand in the evil day, and having done all to stand. Stand therefore, having girded your waist with truth, having put on the breastplate of righteousness, and having shod your feet with the preparation of the gospel of peace. Above all, taking the shield of faith, with which you can be able to quench all the fiery darts of the wicked one, and take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God. Truth, righteousness, faith, peace. You're not fighting a fight in our sense of the word, but it's in a peaceful way. We're still fighting. And finally, the sword of the Spirit. We can be protected by all that panoply of armor, tremendous, a great protection. But unless we take the sword of the Spirit, we're not much good. I'm sure our brother Daniel, if he was taking the platoon forward, they could have wonderful steel helmets, body armor, wonderful boots and everything else, but unless they got a weapon, they wouldn't be much good. And the soldiers of God have got to have a weapon. And what is our weapon? The sword of the Spirit, the Word of God. That is the Word. And we have, you know, to be effective. We read also the Word of God is quick and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even to dividing asunder of the soul, of the soul and the spirit, the joints and the marrow. It is a discerner of the thoughts and intents of the heart. In other words, as we repeat the Word of God, it's going to go. It's going to go places, you know, in the hearts of people who receive it. Maybe they're not thinking that way, but oh, they're not prepared for that. It's the sword of the Spirit. It's so important, praise God. You know, we read then again the weapons of our warfare. We've sung it today, this morning. The weapons of our warfare are not carnal. They're not the kind of thing we normally handle. The weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but they are mighty. They are mighty in the pulling down of strongholds. What's the weapon of our warfare? The sword of the Spirit. The sword of the Spirit. And to be an effective witness, soul winner, right? We need to know the Word. We need to know the Word. We need to learn. In other words, commit to memory, if you can. Commit to memory and inwardly digest. We need to imbibe the Word. We need to take it on board. We need to be able to bring it forward when it's necessary, as led by the Holy Spirit. That's so important. We can't adequately witness without knowing the Word. There's a plethora of new translations, and some of them are very good. But how many of those can you memorize? How many of those wonderful new translations, some of them, how many of them can you commit to memory? Can you repeat? Can you quote to anyone? Not many. In fact, probably all the things that, well, I was brought up until probably the 50s on the authorized version of the Bible. In other words, on what we, the Americans call the King James Version. And then later there's been an amending, a new King James Version, which is very similar, but it gets rid of the thous and therefores and whatever. But it's virtually the same. And then later there's been an NIV, a New International Version. But, you know, you need to imbibe a word which you can memorize. It might explain things nicely, but you need to be able to memorize the Word of God. If you're going to quote it, you need to memorize it. The authorized version, well, before that we had William Tyndale. He did the first translation of the whole Bible into English. He was burnt at the stake for his pains. But he gave us the Bible in our own language. Most of the authorized version is based strongly on the Tyndale version. That's how the Bible came to us. And in fact, it's been a former of the English language since 1611. You know, so much of what we say, so many quotations, they are biblical. They came from the authorized version. They came from the King James Version. We need to know the Word. I don't know if you've read God's Smuggler about Brother Andrew of Open Doors. He tells us how in Eastern Europe during the time of the communists, you know, just a page from the Word of God was treasured. They treasured that word. They memorized it. It was so vital to them. And the Bible, we have Bibles everywhere, but we need to value them. We need to use them. We need to remember what they say, because it is the sword of the Spirit. You want to be a soul winner? know the Word of God. It's so important, I believe. Amen. As I say, brothers and sisters, in China in the past and in various places, they have just been desperately, desperately hungry for the Word of God. You all remember, I think, about Mary Jones in Wales, who walked, I think, for probably 20 or odd miles just to get one copy of the Word in her own language. You know, it's so vital. So there's a hunger. There should be a hunger for the Word of God. And when we've got it, we need to realize just what tremendous treasure we have. It is the sword of the Spirit. It's absolutely what we need. You know, soldiers of the cross need to be equipped. Good to have great body armor, great to be protected, but we need to have an offensive weapon. We need the sword of the Spirit. We need it in order to share the good news of salvation. It's so important. You know, this Christmas, share the good news of salvation. This Christmas, be a blessing as well as be blessed. Amen. Be blessed, all of you, but be a blessing to others and bring others into the most marvelous light, I pray, in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen.